12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Joining me once again, it is my colleague from SiriusXM, Big 12 Radio, mostly, Robbie Triano. Robbie, how are we this week?
We're good. Another week in the Big 12. Another crazy week that happened, but we're here to discuss another crazy week.
I have my Oklahoma State shirt on today.
Very nice. So
supporting the Pokes as we head into the weekend. This is not me being a homer for the remaining Big 12 teams, but I would not be purchasing Texas or Oklahoma shirts. I can tell you that is happening. Yeah, it's really been, I mean, you have Red River Week, and it's pretty exhausting because all we do is talk Texas, Oklahoma. And then it was such a crazy and wild game, and a combination of just the quarterback situation in Oklahoma, the craziness of the game, the mismanagement of said situation, and then the stories kind of coming out afterwards and everything that's happened. Like, it's been pretty, I mean, I would say it's pretty exhausting because, like, they are the flagship school. They're the biggest, they're the blue blood of the conference, and they bear talking about because they've got, I mean, one guy who could start at, you know, 119 schools in the country, and they've got one guy who has beat him out for the job. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's difficult because as we work on Big 12 programming, like, we're seeing Oklahoma make that step out into the SEC, but they're so newsworthy that we have to talk about them, but people are probably tired of talking about them, but they keep winning and they keep taking the headlines. And even for dumb stuff, whatever's happening with Caleb Williams, whoever is on this perch looking over to see what exactly the starting quarterback situation or who's getting as many reps as possible, Oklahoma doesn't stop, man. That's a news machine. And
yeah,
it's a tough balance, but you have to talk about the Sooners. You just have to.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to get this out of the way because I want your thoughts on this. So let's talk about this as a whole. Like, if you are an Oklahoma fan, it's weird because you're 6-0. But you dropped two spots in the rankings from where you originally started. At one point, you dropped four. You had to switch quarterbacks. You've had games where your offense has looked good, at really good at times, and not so good. You've had games where the defense has done the same exact thing. Even within the game itself, you've had one half of good defense, a half of bad defense. Like, how happy are you on a scale? And also, that doesn't even include all the stuff outside of, off the field that's happened. Like, it's the least happy 6-0 possible, right? I mean, this is kind of like the worst case scenario of 6-0.
Yeah, this is there's not a lot of optimism, and you just came close to a loss to Texas, but you win. But now I feel like is the most awesome time to be an Oklahoma fan because you have Caleb Williams, and you finally can be like, our offense, who was not very good this year, can finally make some strides because we have the quarterback that we can do the things we want to do. We know our offensive line is shaky sometimes. He is able to, you know, compensate for some of those things that Spencer Rattler couldn't do. The way it seems like his team has bought in on offense to when he is on. I feel like if you're an Oklahoma fan moving forward, you should just be so much more optimistic about this team because of the direction with Caleb Williams under helm. And imagine having him for 3 years, like you have him for this year to, like, basically groom and also still be a national contender right now.
Right.
I would not consider them better than Georgia. I think Alabama lost, even though I think Alabama is a better team than Oklahoma. But still, like, you have Caleb Williams, you have so much optimism right now. I think in the Big 12 race before the Texas game, we thought that the gap between Oklahoma and every other team was as small as it's ever been. And as soon as Caleb Williams comes in, I feel like that is just getting larger and larger.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And we'll get into it once we hit the game, and we'll get into these games. First, Robbie, a quick word from the sponsors. Big 12 country, still hot out there right now. So pick up some Sweat Block wipes if you're on the way to a game this week. Sweat Block wipes have been a bestseller on Amazon for over a decade, 13,000 reviews, number one in the antiperspirant category right now. And they're manufactured in the good old U.S. of A. If you or someone you love is dealing with excessive sweating, check out Sweat Block wipes. You can get 20% off right now at sweatblock.com with promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On. You can get it for 20% off there, or you can get it at Amazon or CVS today. All right, Robbie, we've got five games of the Big 12, but is it fair to say that we have six because Cincinnati and UCF are playing this week? It's basically a sixth Big 12 game.
I would consider that a Big 12 game, and also with the success of the Big 12 and Cincinnati, I would say we can include Cincinnati as a college football playoff team if they get in. So we'll be like if Oklahoma and Cincinnati gets in, it's like, two Big 12 teams.
Right. Exactly. So, yes.
More than the SEC right now, which is
exactly
good.
The first game. Yeah. More than the SEC right now. Yes. First game we've gotten, as we do, we go through the games. It's like a menu. It's appetizers, main course, dessert. We go through the day as the Big 12 day unfolds. And then we'll do our Saturday 7 after that, 7 games outside of the Big 12. But we'll start with the really main attraction of the day that's at noon. 11 a.m. on Fox, number 12, Oklahoma State, number 25, Texas. Texas, 5-point favorites. This game, to me, it's so important. The biggest game, if you will, you know, stakes, circumstances, kind of rankings, pomp, whatever it is, was last week. But this is the battle for number two. Both of these teams have shown something that makes them worthy of playing in a Big 12 championship. For Oklahoma State, the defense is a championship-worthy defense, a conference championship-worthy defense at this point. For Texas, there's no doubt that offense. And what I have to say to this, Robbie, you know, I was talking to our colleague Fozzie Whitaker earlier this week, 48 points in a game, like, you got to win, right? You got to win that. And as far as the offense is concerned, Steve Sarkisian has delivered basically what we thought that he would deliver, right? And these actually aren't, you know, a ton of these players are guys that, you know, he recruited, but he's doing what he did at Alabama, finding ways to get Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson, Jordan Whittington, and I think Xavier Worthy, he was like, he's young, so can we trust him? Can we trust him? And I think he hit the point where he's like, oh yeah, we can definitely trust him. And now he's giving him the Devontae Smith treatment, you know, with the way that they're having return kicks and also the way that they're using the screen game. So, you know, he's delivered on that front, but this is the contrasting styles game. Oklahoma State cannot get the offense figured out. Texas has absolutely no idea what they're doing on defense at this point in time. It looked like they maybe had a clue in the first half for a little bit against Oklahoma, but then it came unglued. From that perspective, that's why this game is so compelling to me.
No, I agree with that. And the battle for number two of the Big 12 is spot on. And I think, like, Oklahoma State has beat Baylor. They beat Kansas State. They beat Boise State. I would consider them real tests, but this is legitimately the realest test that Oklahoma State has faced. And the thing that concerns me about Oklahoma State and why I'm picking Texas for this game is because I don't think they can survive a Spencer Sanders turnover game here. Like, he turned over the ball 3 times against Baylor, but Baylor does not have the offense that Texas has. We just saw what Texas done against Texas Tech and Oklahoma, who we consider the best defense in the Big 12. If you give Texas the ball, I feel like they're going to capitalize on that way more. Yes, Oklahoma State has a great defense, but I'm so sold in on this Texas offense. I'm very sold in on this team. And I just love the way Casey Thompson has been slinging the ball down. They like to take deep shots down. And the thing about Texas's defense, although it came to probably their failures, but they sent a lot of pressure against Oklahoma, a lot. And I don't believe Oklahoma State has the offensive line that is comparable to Oklahoma. So I think Spencer Sanders is going to make a lot of mistakes in this game. And that's why I have Texas, and Texas at home. I don't know why they're so good at home, but Texas at home has been very good. And this is a good test. This is a good test for the second team in the conference. Before the Oklahoma-Texas game, I had Texas as number one in the conference. I still think they're not the best team in the league. I will admit that. But I think if you were to just put on paper and what I've seen with my eyeballs against the competition, I think Texas is the number two team in the conference.
This is one of those games where you're right, because we'll find out how much of an equalizer is the offense, right? Because the Oklahoma State is not going to do what Oklahoma did last week. So the question is, how good is your offense? Is your offense going to be good enough to overcome a team scoring, you know, 28, 30 points on you? Here's what I will say, Robbie. Last week in the heat, in the sweltering heat, Oklahoma leaned on Texas on the defensive side. Their offensive line, which we've seen struggle this year, Oklahoma's, they struggled a bunch most of the year. Second half, they were running dudes over. They were controlling the flow of the game. And the second half running game for Oklahoma was a factor. Texas, it seemed pretty helpless at that point. You can tell, like, he was just worn. They were just worn down. The guy in the backfield for Oklahoma State is getting his PhD in wearing you down. That is Jalen Warren, Mr. 30-plus carries. And here's what's interesting about him. You think maybe he can slow down? He might have to slow down. This is not a guy who's got a high carry count coming in for his career as a senior. This is not a guy even early in the season who had a high carry count coming into the season. Now, the last three games, he's really, you know, they've really started to hand him the rock. 95 carries, 466, four scores. 4.9 yards per carry is not like this crazy number. But late in games, and also just kind of it's a sustained attack. Like, it just feels like he's going to break one or two a game because he keeps coming. He keeps coming. Keeps coming. That's my concern for Texas as the game wears on. If it's close and it's back and forth late, you're kind of in a situation almost like this week where you're afraid to give Oklahoma State the ball back because we saw what Oklahoma did. They had no problem going down the field, no problem running the ball and getting down easy yardage and going and scoring on Texas. I'm worried for Texas defense that could repeat itself, especially after such an emotional game that last week and then the time to rest for Oklahoma State coming into the game.
No, I agree with that. And I believe statistically, Texas is the 9th ranked defense in the Big 12 ahead of Kansas. Not great.
They're 110th in rushing defense in the country, Robbie. That is where they sit.
No, right, you bring now a good point there, and something I would talk about is that it's a polar opposite of where the fatigue and energy of these teams are. Texas, I would say, people have said like it takes like 2 to 3 weeks to recover from a rivalry game like that. Sure. And also Oklahoma State coming off the bye. I think that if Texas wants to succeed, they need to force early three and outs. Like, they cannot do that. Yeah. There are some drives against Oklahoma, like they would, it'd be third down and Oklahoma would just convert. And it's just like over and over and over again. Like, they are just on the field for so long. And it seems like at the end of that game, Oklahoma could just do whatever they want. If they can just force Oklahoma to just like keep punting the ball, I think this is going to be a good week.
I mean, Kennedy Brooks like walked into the end zone, and we've talked about that. Like, he's not the fastest or the strongest guy, but like he could take it at about 10% effort, because that was just, I mean, they were, everybody blocked was like it was perfect. It was great blocking, but
I don't know how Texas can't tackle. Like, the way Kennedy Brooks was,
nobody was close to him. Like, nobody could shake it. Nobody could shake a block. The receivers had guys blocked. Tight ends had guys blocked. The guys who pulled had dudes blocked. Everybody was – and no Texas player had the energy, the ability, whatever you needed to get shed their blocks and put – and give chase. Give chase to Kennedy Brooks in that play right there. And that's what I'm worried about. But I think you're right. And you know, the turnover point, think about last year's game, right? Oklahoma State's offense, 530 yards against Texas to Texas's 287. What was the defining factor, though? It was the four turnovers that Oklahoma State has in that game. And much like, you know, what we see with, we're seeing this Iowa last year, all Texas had to do was just convert them. I mean, it's like, all right, short field, short field, short field. All right, convert, convert, convert. And they're able to get it done. Oklahoma State cannot play from behind. That is the one big thing in this game, is they cannot play from behind. I'm really curious to see what Texas does to attack early, because teams are not having success running the football against Oklahoma State. That's usually not how you're going to end up beating them. So what do they do to put pressure, you know, to put some pressure to get Oklahoma State's defense at the back foot? Because that's the one thing, is they are an aggressive attacking defense. Jim Knowles obviously nicknamed Sir Blitz a lot to get, you know, that's kind of his thing. They want to make Casey Thompson and make Bijan Robinson. They want to put heat on you, right? They want to make you make, you know, quick decisions. Can you catch the ball? We're in your face. You know, can you make a move? Can you do all these things? I want to see, can Texas come out and punch the same way they punched Oklahoma in the mouth last week?
Yeah, and I think one player that I've really enjoyed watching this year is Xavier Worthy. One player that I'm really upset got hurt is Jordan Whittington. I feel like he was just emerging as this player that could just do so many things for their offense. He's able to take in the backfield and also receive, and I thought he was just excellent for them. And the fact that he's not out that stinks. But I want to see Bijan Robinson run the ball more in the second half. I feel like in that second half of Oklahoma, he was kind of not really a part of the game plan.
Do you think Sarkisian felt the heat a little bit? Maybe felt Oklahoma coming and was like, all right, we need to get our offense, you know, kind of tossing the ball all over the place too. Maybe kind of almost some Super Bowl syndrome. I don't know, like the Falcons Super Bowl.
Yeah, I thought that was just really poor handling of how everything was going. Like, especially if your defense is as tired as it is, like, you need to have possession of the ball. And I feel like Texas being as like, I feel like they're very fast paced offense, or it seems like they just like to keep the ball going. I think sometimes they just need to slow things down. And I think this is a game right now, if Oklahoma State gets rolling, they need to just like chill on offense. Yeah. Like, burn the clock, please.
I'm going to Oklahoma State here because they've, I mean, I don't know. My head is telling me that Texas wins this game, but this Oklahoma State group, by hook or by crook, has been winning all of these games. And I think this group also too knows that they owe Texas one from last year. They owe them one big for that game. And this is a great opportunity for them. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I'll take the points. What are you going to do with the points at least?
I think this is going to be I think Texas is going to roll here. I think it's a two touchdown game from Texas. I'm high on this team. I'm still not giving up. I think from right now, what we've seen from Sark has been anything I've seen from Tom Herman. So yeah. I'm, if you're a Texas fan, I feel like you should not be totally worried. You're in good hands.
All right. Next game, 2:30 on ABC, BYU against Baylor. This is really interesting, Robbie, because this is obviously a future matchup. It's Baptist versus Mormons, if you will, as well. It's also the Eric Mateos and Jeff Grimes, well, the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator, who both came over from BYU to go join Dave Aranda's staff. And let me tell you something. They've done a great job. And I think it kind of leads me to the big storyline of this game. Baylor has been a more – both these teams want to play the same way. They've had good defense, and they like to run the football. Now, Baylor's had some really explosive offensive games, which is – I'm not saying it's an anomaly, but I think they're closer to, like, second half against Oklahoma State. You know, they can move it on teams. They can score on you. Then they are their game against West Virginia, right, where it was just, I mean, raining fire on what we thought is a really good defense. So, but I still think – I think they're a better version of what both of these teams want to do. BYU's games, it's like a lot of 26-17, 29-18, kind of – that's the range that their wins fall under. Baylor wants to play that game. That's the kind of game that Dave Aranda wants to play. And I think, Jaren Hall is coming back the second week after an injury. We'll see how he looks. But your boy, Gary Bohannon, has just been outright sensational. I think the difference here is the level of talent on Baylor's side. And also, you know, you talk about BYU, it's always a bunch of grown men. Like, Baylor is a really tough football team. Any Dave Aranda team, at the bare minimum, is going to be tough. And I think this group is tough and good. So I think they win this game. I don't know if I lay a 6.5. I leaning towards yes. Maybe it's 27-10, 27-13 kind of situation. Maybe Baylor gets a late score to kind of seal it. So I'll roll with Baylor minus 6.5. Where are you feeling on this game?
I think Baylor's going to roll this team. Mm-hmm. Two things. One, I just love that I can now call us the religion rivalry. Rivalry between BYU and Baylor. Hi, welcome to the conference, BYU. I know you guys have very good fans, so welcome. We appreciate you having
Yes, we love the BYU fans. They are very nice, this program, so we love them.
And two, you mentioned it with the talent part, and I think Baylor has really, really shown up. And like West Virginia, yes, they've had a really disappointing season. I think Neil Brown has just, I mean, like, he must just be having a lot of sleepless nights. But the way they're able to function on offense and the amount of talent that they have, Gary Bohannon can make the deep pass. They can run the ball. They can hit you in every single – they are good. They are very, very good. And at 5-1, I love this team. Right now, I think Dave Aranda should be coach of the year. And for hiring Jeff Grimes, my God, like, that was, like, one of the best hires in college football.
Look at the offensive line play. Look how it's turned around for them.
Yeah, so I'm really high on Baylor. Terrell Bernard is back. I love that defense. And one play in the West Virginia game that still makes me chuckle when I watch the highlights. Jalen Petrie gets his interception. He just gets up and goes to the sideline. Doesn't celebrate or anything. People are patting him on the back, and he's just walking over. I just think that's the mentality of Baylor. Like, let's just do our job. And I love watching this Baylor team this year. And, also homecoming. This is a homecoming game for Baylor.
Baylor Stadium looks awesome. Like, I'm not sure about you, Robbie, but I think Baylor is a stadium I want to go to the most in the Big 12.
Because aesthetically, like, nice, even the way they set the color of their grass, grass is lighter, one grass is darker.
Yes, the pattern.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
And so, they've been so good this year. And I know I haven't been the nicest to Baylor. And I doubted them coming into the season. I was like, wow, 5-6 wins maybe. Robbie, they have a chance to be bowl eligible by mid-October, like October 16th, they can be bowl eligible. That is not something we thought. And also the big thing for them is, you talked about Baylor doing your job and protecting the football was, I think, the reason why they selected Gary Bohannon. Goose egg in the interceptions category still. And it seems like the passing part of that game, I mean, we were talking to our colleague Gabe Eichert, he was explaining that they run a lot of levels concepts. They'll kind of roll Gary Bohannon out and just give him multiple options. This guy, the best thing about him is his decision-making. You might put him down lower in the ranks in terms of arm strength or natural talent or whatever kind of ability you think, but decision-making, I mean, you could argue he has been the best. I actually don't think you could argue. It's just a fact. He's been the best decision-maker at quarterback throughout a month and a half so far this season.
Yeah, and that's like if – I don't know what I'm going to say. So if Spencer Sanders, we can agree he has a ton of talent, like just complete talent.
He has the worst decision-making.
If he were to somehow merge with Gary Bohannon, like take his powers of decision-making, I think Spencer Sanders would be unbelievable. And I see a lot of people talking about Gary Bohannon. It's like, should he be in the Heisman conversation? Mm. And right now, I don't know. But here's what I do know. After this game against BYU, they have a bye. Home against Texas, at TCU, home against Oklahoma. If Baylor goes 3-0 or Gary Bohannon have some type of performance, you have to include this guy into the Heisman conversation.
Oh, 100%, 110%,
Ron. Like 100%. And I think the system he's in is perfect. I think Gary Bohannon has really shown out. And like you said, he's able to make so many quick decisions. And yeah, I mean, Baylor's schedule is kind of awesome. Like, you get a bye, then you're home at Texas and home against OU.
But you do get, yeah, that's the big one. And also, you got Iowa State at home earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Right? You got Iowa State home earlier in the season, too. All right, so we're both going Baylor there. This one is like the sickest game of the week in the Big 12. I mean, just Texas at 3 o'clock, ESPN Plus, Texas Tech versus Kansas. These teams are second or dead last and last. In terms of defense, I forgot to put the line on here. I think it's Texas Tech. I believe it is roughly like 16.5, maybe. Here's the thing. Texas Tech should run the ball more than they do. They should run the football more than they do. They've got 18 rushing touchdowns on the year. They're like 4.9 yards per carry, but it feels like they could do more if they wanted to. And this is a game where Kansas' run defense has been so bad. So put it on them to the best of your ability. Kansas now has had 2 weeks to prepare after getting – and wipe the Iowa State loss from your memory, because we knew that was going to happen. The best version of Iowa State was going to show up because they were angry, they were pissed off. Wipe that from your memory. So what we're starting, you know, again here, 2 weeks off. Let's see what Jason Bean and friends can do against what's been a bad Texas Tech defense. Let's see if Kansas can run the football, because we saw what Zach Evans did, and they don't have nearly that talent, but like, that's a way you can hit them. Bijan Robinson did it too. Can you get some kind of running game going? Can you use a short screen game going for Kansas? And can this be a game in the fourth quarter? Not just the third quarter, Robbie. Can Kansas be in this game in the fourth is my question.
If you're a Kansas fan, look how many winnable games, let's say winnable games, you have left on your schedule. I think Texas Tech or West Virginia are the only games left that you can win.
Where is the West Virginia game? Where is that?
That's the last game on their schedule. So where last game, and it's at home in Manhattan. Not Manhattan, in Lawrence. And I mean,
like,
you're a Kansas fan, like, you're like, please.
I took the over 2 on wins because I wanted Kansas to do it, which is heresy considering I'm a Missouri graduate, but still, I want them to get win number 2. This feels like their best chance because Texas Tech took it on the chin last week.
The only reason I would say like West Virginia might be their best is if like West Virginia just keeps losing and everyone just like gives up. They're like, all right, I'm not.
Well, it's so funny with Texas Tech too. They're in this weird spot, Robbie. The first comment I got after the Sunday reaction episode was, WTF, why isn't Matt Wells gone yet? And it's funny because going into that week, right, you're thinking, wow, Matt Wells can get to 5-1 here against a TCU team that's been struggling and has a lot of problems on defense. And look at the 5-1. Hey, they might be Kansas and go to 6-1 and make that bowl game we've been talking about. And now it's like, all right, this is a must-win game for Texas Tech. They have to win this football game. Like this is if you want to find out how to get Matt Wells fired, and if you're a Texas Tech fan, you want that to happen. Maybe you want that kind of result. I don't know. But this is the one-way ticket, is losing to Kansas, right? Charlie Strong did it. This is the one-way ticket.
Yep. So you're at Kansas this week. Your week after that is Kansas State. I think those are, if you're a Texas Tech fan, the only two games I think you can win, because then you go at OU, home Iowa State, home Oklahoma State, at Baylor. That is, I mean, Can we just chalk up that's 0-4?
They need a sunflower sweep is what you're saying, right? They need a sweep of the sunflower state.
And I really, if I were to rank the teams I've enjoyed watching this season in the Big 12, I'm not including Kansas here because I'm going to go 1-9. West Virginia is number 9 and Texas Tech has been number 8. I've not really enjoyed watching this team over the last couple of weeks. And if you're a Texas Tech fan, like, do you want to win these next two games? Do you want to? Because if you're bowl eligible, I think that almost guarantees that Matt Wells stays unless there's another option out there. And if you're a Texas Tech fan, I think you always want to win. But I don't know if this Matt Wells thing is going to keep on going.
Do we think Texas Tech wins here?
Against Kansas?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
But do you think they cover the spread?
Whatever it
is. 16 and a
half. That's tricky. I'm going to stay. I'm going to give Kansas. Can we root for Kansas here? Can we collectively
root for Kansas? I always root for Kansas. I root for Kansas basically every game they play.
I want to see something from that Lance Leipold. I just want to see some glimmer of hope. I want
to
just see.
I talked to our good buddy Jesse Newell going into the season. We talked about this, but like the structure that program lacked from like the kids' diets after, you know, every kid having a special, and this is not uncommon, but like the kids didn't have a specialized, you know, protein shake after each workout. And obviously every player has different needs. Like that's something that everybody does. They didn't have that at Kansas. You know what I mean? The hustling between drills. They didn't have that at Kansas. And so, like, he's got to work on that right now. And then the on-field product you're hoping can come at some point. But this is a big pass. This is year zero, especially considering when he was hired, too.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about this game. Yeah. I think this is the grossest one on the schedule.
This is Sicko's game of the week. All right. Moving on. So, you talk about non-entertaining teams. Arguably the most entertaining team in the Big 12 is TCU. 6:30 on ABC. TCU takes their high-powered offense and god-awful defense to Oklahoma. This is like... It's the teams that have gotten the most negative press this year, these are the two, because Gary Patterson cannot keep his mouth shut about anything. He's been complaining about grass. He's been complaining about the number of carries that Bijan Robinson got in his country music and SMU.
He thinks that his coach got assaulted by the other team, even though it's clear that his own team didn't pushed him.
And then doubled down on it. Just a bizarre season. But Gary did reach in the bag and brought out the hammer last week for them. They beat the hell out of Texas Tech up front. This TCU offense, weirdly enough, you take away Sonny Cumbie, and things have gone a lot better for them. They're running the ball well. Max Duggan's done well. I think Quentin Johnston is going to play. I think. We'll see how healthy he is. What do you think TCU's chances here are of pressing Oklahoma home? We already saw Oklahoma in primetime once at home. Struggle, and if you want to call Nebraska primetime at noon, so you could make it two struggles, considering the West Virginia game also. What do you think? Do you think TCU presses Oklahoma here?
It's tricky because I believe TCU has one of the best running rooms in the entire Big 12. The way Kendre Miller and Zach Evans ran it on Texas Tech, I'm high in that room a lot. But the thing that makes me worried about them is the way Oklahoma stopped the run in the second half of Texas. Makes me think, I think Alex Grinch is starting to figure this league out and how they're starting to run the ball a little bit. Max Duggan has been phenomenal this year. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal. Even though like they've relied on their rushes, when they want to pass, he makes big, big, big passes. This is crazy. 25% of Max Duggan throws are over 20 yards. 25%. Yes. That is number one in the league. The way that they are just like, all right, Max, can you just make big, deep balls? I love the way he does it.
They've lacked intermediate passing, and they've gotten more of it this year. But, like, that offense can hit all kinds of big plays. They hit home runs a ton.
And the thing that makes me think Oklahoma's going to run is TCU's offense. Defense is terrible. Just really bad. And there's been no starter announced, but let's just, like, Caleb Williams will be starting. Right. I think that this is going to be a statement game from Caleb Williams, and I think Oklahoma's gonna run away with this. I think Oklahoma's gonna put up a ton of points here, and Oklahoma's defense gave up a lot of points to Texas last week, but I think they have to do better in this game. And and it's at home. I'm going Oklahoma big here. TCU is fun to watch, even though Gary Patterson has been my least favorite coach in this entire league. Not on what is on the field, but like just annoying. I think
it's getting to the point where his results aren't great, and also the public part of it too, where it's like he's just kind of a grumpy old man. And maybe he's not I don't think he's the right kind of guy to handle 18 to 22 year olds anymore. So I do think, like, it's not like the performances are totally bottoming out, right? This is not a horrible football team that's gotten no talent at all. They've got talent. They just are really inconsistent, and their coach, it feels like a liability in during press conferences, and he's not the old Gary Patterson coach that we know. So
he's so bad at handling a loss, like just so bad.
He's a bad loser.
He'll critique the other team, like, SMU's classless, and they assaulted our coach. Well, just like proof there wasn't. It's just like, I would never run a running back like Bijan Robinson. It's like, well, I think you should if you want to win games. Right. I'm looking out for the players.
He gave him like 15 carries in the first half last week too. So I mean, like that's on pace to have.
I mean,
like
he's
30.
Also like known for running like LaDainian Tomlinson so much. Like he uses his play. Like I just don't understand how we can like subtly make fun of the other team even though like they beat you. Like
He's becoming a meme now. He's becoming like an old man meme. I think TCU covers. I think they kind of make this weird, weird late, and they get a cover. I think Oklahoma's, I think Oklahoma keeps it within 13 to 17 to 20 for most of the game, and TCU kind of like they go from not covering to covering to not covering, and late they'll score and get a cover here. So I'll take TCU plus 13.5, but Oklahoma kind of controls the game. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm taking Oklahoma, and I'm taking Oklahoma to cover as well. I think this is going to be a statement and an easy game for Oklahoma. Based on what I saw from TCU in the Oklahoma game last year, that was an ugly game, and I don't want it. I think Oklahoma's going to roll.
All right, we have one more game, but first, another word from our sponsors here. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. It's the best place to find affordable parts for your car or truck. Go to RockAuto.com today. When you do, make sure you use Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. And also, betonline.ag, a whole lot of action this weekend, whether it be UFC, college football, pro football, basketball, hockey is back now too, and MLB playoffs are going on. So much to bet on right now. You can go to betonline.ag today. When you do, use the promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll receive a 100% deposit bonus with your first deposit right now. It's a pretty good deal they've got going on right now at betonline.ag. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, Robbie, one last game. It is the aptly named Farmageddon, as I'm pulling it up right now. This one, 6:30 on ESPN2, a nice little double feature of Big 12 games at 6:30, kind of to end your evening. So this one, Kansas State getting 6.5 points. Iowa State here, like, this is one of those games where maybe Kansas State could do what they did to Oklahoma, right? And kind of make, long possessions. Longer possessions, shorter amount of possessions in the game, right? Oklahoma's offense was scoring on every single possession. The only problem was there weren't a ton of them in the game. Here's the difference, though. Iowa State's defense is very good at getting you off the field. They're actually exquisite at it. The only time that Iowa State's defense really struggles is when you have the ball and just a short field, and when their offense makes mistakes. That's the big challenge for them. I think Iowa State is going to run over Kansas State in the way that they ran over Kansas. I think this team is on the warpath. I think this team, we've forgotten about them. We're not talking about them. And that's when they're at their best as the kind of emerging team. So out of that cluster of Baylor, who's gotten a lot of shine, we've got, also getting a lot of shine was Oklahoma State and Texas in that kind of second tier of who can press for a Big 12 title spot. Have we forgotten about Iowa State? I know they don't have many good wins, but they're going to have an opportunity here to start racking them up. Their schedule is very favorable the way it works out for them. It's kind of nice paced, and I think this is an awesome opportunity for them to kind of remind everybody who they are. I think they thump Kansas State in this game.
I agree with that too, and we had this conversation yesterday in the show about one loss Big 12 teams. Like one loss in terms of conference losses that still have a good chance of making the Big 12 title game. I think Iowa State and Texas are I would consider the top two teams in that. I think they are going to roll Kansas State as well. I love this Iowa State defense. I need to see something from Brock Purdy. Like, please,
right?
Something, some type of an improvement, some type of mental change where you are actually like not so down on yourself. If Iowa State fans want to have the season that they expected, which basically means you have to just win out, Like, if Iowa State fans want to be happy based on expectation, you have to kind of win out. I think Brock Purdy just needs to step up, up as well. And, I mean, I would say they still have all their hardest games left on the schedule, which is like,
they do in a way, but also like, I don't think it sets up in a way that's like too terribly rough. And when I say that, I mean, the way it works is like they're at Kansas State, they're home for Oklahoma State. They're at West Virginia, but they're home for Texas. They're at Texas Tech, which isn't that bad. Now, the tough one there is you're at Oklahoma in the next game, but I mean, I think that game's close because these two teams is just like they kind of have a knack for playing, you know, competitive football games. So I think while they do have hard games remaining, it's spread out in a way that's not like they're stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. And if Kansas State loses this game, like, I feel so bad for that fan base because they have, I would consider like the coaches that are on their third year in the Big 12, Matt Wells, Neil Brown, Chris Kleiman. I think Chris Kleiman has done the best job out of those three by far. I think that team is so well coached. That game against Oklahoma, I thought like it is such a clear talent like difference between Oklahoma and Kansas State. And the fact that they're able to hang with that team, and the fact that they just like run the ball so beautifully. I think they
were converting every third down too. I mean, they were getting, yeah.
It's like the culture of Kansas State, but that is such a gritty team, well-coached team. Like, Kansas State fans, like, I'm sorry you guys don't have the talent compared to the rest of the conference. You just have to wait until, like, Oklahoma and Texas leave for you guys to, like, actually do something, like win a conference. I think this team is so well-coached. I think they nailed it with Chris Kleiman, but for the rest of this year, it's just like, damn. Like, they just do not have the talent.
And I mean, you could see there was a talent gap between them and Oklahoma State, right? And the only reason I think it was more profound was because there was no Skylar Thompson. And you saw the effort that he gave, you know, even hampered in that game against Oklahoma. Like, this team is good when Skylar Thompson plays. Now, how healthy is he? Is he moving forward? I just also think, too, they lost some momentum, right? I think just kind of the way things have shaken out for them, it's caused them to lose some momentum. And it's kind of frustrating for them that they have this run and they have to play Oklahoma State. Then they have to play, I think there was Oklahoma State, and they played Oklahoma. Then they, you know, now have to play Iowa State. There might be one more Big 12 team thrown in there. But yeah, it's a really crappy stretch for them. And I think once again, it's a team that's going to end up being better than the record shows. We saw all the problems they gave Oklahoma in that game. Oklahoma State was once again challenged. We saw them thump Stanford in a very convincing way early on in the season. They were taking care of business early on, the way they handled Nevada, even with backup quarterback in. Like, this can be a good team. The problem for them is the health. So I'm going – are you going with Kansas State as well? Or Iowa State, excuse me?
I'm going with Iowa State, but I just want to give some credit to Kansas State. They have an awesome offensive line. Awesome. Skylar Thompson is gritty. Deuce Vaughn is awesome. Malik Knowles is awesome. That defense has not proved much yet. And I will say I love Kansas State, but yeah, I think Iowa State has something to prove this month. Brocktober, baby.
It is Brocktober.
First time I said that too.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. It is the Saturday seven games outside the Big 12. This one though, a Big 12 game.
It's a Big 12.
11 a.m. ABC, UCF at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, I mean, just gave Temple the business last week. Blew them out pretty convincingly. UCF with a backup quarterback here, and that's no Dylan Gabriel, has really kind of stunted their ability to kind of build things in Gus Malzahn's first year. So I think Cincinnati at home covers 21. They really make you pay for all of your mistakes. And so I think today, you know, I think in this game, it'll be one of those methodical Cincy beatings they put on teams.
No, I agree with you. I think this is easy. Cincinnati covers, Cincinnati wins. I really want to see Cincinnati in the college football playoff just to see it. I just want to see that just for that. And the fact that they kind of do have a resume building up, beating Notre Dame on the road, that will be talked about forever. Every college football playoff ranking show, when they talk about Cincinnati, they will bring that up. So if I say it now, don't get tired
also,
in late November when you hear it.
I would love to see Georgia versus Cincinnati round two. Now, I mean, Georgia is a much better version of Cincinnati, but the bowl game last year, I mean, guys like Aziz Ojulari were still playing for Georgia in that game. And Cincinnati, from some mismanagement from Luke Fickell and you know, where they handled that game, lost that lead, but it was still a really close game. And this is basically that entire squad back. I'm sure they remember that. I would love to see those two teams meet up again in the college football playoff. I think that would be compelling from that standpoint. Not sure how close it ended up being, but yes. So I'm with you. They are on track right now. The second game, Arkansas versus Auburn. So I would say this about Arkansas. Like, nobody's as good as Georgia. It appears Georgia's just a lot better than everybody else. I think they acquitted themselves very well last week against that Ole Miss offense. I mean, they got run up and down on, but their offense responded too. And I love the call, Robbie, to go for two. This was happening while the craziest in Red River was happening.
Insane.
I like the call if we go for two. I didn't like the play, but I think this week at home, 4.5-point favorites against Auburn. I'll lay the 4.5 for Arkansas. Also another revenge game right here. So the Hogs are good. They're legitimately a good football team. I think they showed that against Ole Miss last week. They've had a really difficult schedule too.
No, I agree with that. Watching that game, so I was at a bar with about 8 different TVs, and there was some Ole Miss grads there. And 3 of the TVs were taken up by Auburn, or not by, by Arkansas Ole Miss. It was insane. Watching that game, like, right next to the Red River, and then that, I was like, every single play was a score. Like, every single play was a big play. It was insane. I'm Team Arkansas on this, though. I love watching them play.
Yeah, I think they're a lot of fun. They actually do have a lot of talent, too. I mean, Jefferson and Treylon Burks, like, it's a great combination. Let's move on here. Game number 3, 11 a.m. Great 11 a.m. slate, by the way, this week. This one, Florida at LSU. Obviously, so many storylines from last year. This is the Marco Wilson rerun. Florida needs to win this game. They cannot be messing around. LSU, I saw the USA Today coaches' highest paid list that just came out today. Ed Orgeron's number two, and he's about to get canned. It turns out that he deserves a lot of credit for putting everything together that one year, right? Having a great coaching staff, having awesome talent. But it turns out he's more Gene Chizik than he is like a Jimbo Fisher, if you will, right? He's more of a one-hit wonder. And also problems outside the program. This is one of those losses where they need a win like this because there aren't many chances for them to get to 6 wins. Getting to a bowl game is going to be tough for LSU. I think Florida wins. The LSU covers at home.
Yeah, I'm going Florida here, but it's sad because I feel like Coach O is LSU. I feel like there's no other job in the country that he would perfectly fit just because, right, like, he is go Tigers. Like, he embodies that. And it's sad because I think it is coming to an end. I think he's going to enjoy having all this money now. I think he's going to enjoy this
to not coach.
It's a great job to not coach, but I feel like he loves football so much that, like, I think he's just going to be in anguish, like, being at home. So
I think anguish is the right way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm Team Florida here, but damn, that's sad for Coach O. That's real sad.
Game number 4, a lot of SEC games this week. So Kentucky versus Georgia, 22.5-point favorites. Look, until proven otherwise, Georgia is a buzzsaw. I mean, just a buzzsaw. It is going to be a difficult day for Will Levis. It's going to be a difficult day for Chris Rodriguez and Kavassier Smoke. Just because you lose this game by a lot, much like Arkansas, does not mean that you are bad. What Kentucky has accomplished this year, very impressive. But now, you know, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Let's see how competitive they can keep it, but I think Georgia covers because they're just so damn good.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is where Kentucky's awesome road comes to an end. I love watching Will Levis, even though, like, he eats the weirdest food ever, mayo and coffee.
Yeah, the banana thing is so weird.
Banana, so weird. Georgia's awesome. They're deservingly the best team in the country. I think Georgia wins here.
Like, and came into, like, they've had an excellent quarterback play. You know, Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels haven't been asked to do that much when they've played, so it's been very good to watch. All right, 6 p.m. on ESPN, number 5, Alabama, at Mississippi State, getting 17 points. Body blow effect, maybe, Robbie. You know, you take one big hit against A&M. Do you take another one here? Or are we going to get an angry Bama that comes out and absolutely throttles Mississippi State?
Angry Bama, baby. Angry Bama. There's like 5 places I want to be a fly in the wall. It would be like some building, Area 51, if I could be a fly in the wall for like those meetings. And then I also would want to be a fly in the wall for a week of practice after an Alabama loss. That would be like, holy shit. Like,
you didn't say he loves it. I bet he prefers the losses because he's like, oh, yes.
I get to actually coach. He's like, right. Now I don't have to like fake coach, be like, oh, well, we need to step up the aggressiveness, even though you just won 77-0.
I mean, after the Miami game, he was like, we played one good half. Not sure everybody's all excited about
it. Like, he has to fake things to like be perfect about. And now he can actually like drill. I think Alabama's going to roll. I still think Alabama's one of the best teams in the country.
That was so weird last week. Like, it's hard to think that game was an anomaly because their offense started to clamp. I mean, it felt like the game was Alabama's take, right? Their offense began clamping A&M. A&M could barely get a first down. And that lead just kept dwindling, kept dwindling, kept dwindling. While A&M's defense was kind of getting a stop or two, once Alabama goes up seven, how often, Robbie, do you see a team, it's an upset spot, take the lead, give it back, and then take it back after all the momentum swung to the more talented, better group? Rarely. And so I think it's Jimbo Fisher deserves a lot of credit. But, like, that was something, man. I mean, that was something. But I think you're right. Like, I think that's a bit, you know, that's not necessarily indicative of who they are. They do have things to clean up. It's a good opponent to clean things up against, right? Mississippi State.
Totally.
All right. Number six, Tennessee, Ole Miss. This game, Robbie. Do you know, guess what the over-under is for this game?
I don't even want to know. Three million?
I don't know. It's 82 and a half. It is 82 and a half points. So, I mean, basically to cover, you need a 42-41 game, you know, at that point to cover. These two offenses have been excellent so far this year. I don't know. Tennessee's been beaten up on pretty bad competition, I would say. Killing Missouri, they have the worst run defense in the country, doesn't really do much for me. South Carolina isn't very good either. So I think this game could be back and forth. I think Ole Miss wins it. I think Ole Miss wins it by 10 to 14 points, actually.
No, I agree with you. I loved watching that Ole Miss-Arkansas game last week, and I'm high on Ole Miss still. I think they're a good, fun offense. Go Ole Miss.
And then finally, Arizona State at Utah. This is a big one. Pac-12 South, Robbie. Both these teams are tied at the top right now. This one's for control. It's an even spread. Jaden Daniels, man, if you guys have not watched him, the quarterback for Arizona State, he had got a lot of press, and because the team hasn't been excellent, he's not, you know, as talked about some of the other guys, he is the real deal. He's fast, got a big arm, kind of built almost like Kevin Durant. He's got, you know, his arms aren't very big, but he can sling all over the place. I'm going to go with Arizona State on the road here, fighting Herms, go into Utah and get a win. Where are you going with this?
I'm also going Arizona State on there. I think one of the last remaining teams in the Pac-12 that they can be proud about. So I'm going Arizona State here. Utah's so strange. All I think about is Charlie Brewer. It's just like, what are you doing? You leave Baylor, terrible situation, go to Utah. Now you're gone. So you can do another year of college. So you can be, I don't know, 35 in your next year of college. I don't know how many years he's been in
college.
He'll be
in South Alabama tossing 30 touchdowns a year next year, something like that, right?
One yeah. It's like, what are we doing?
All right, Robbie, where can people find you and your work and its variety?
SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. We work on Big 12 Today, Josh and I. Great show. Tune in. You can find your subscriptions wherever. Find a free trial. We're glad to provide you the content that is not locked on Big 12. Follow me on Twitter at the Triano Kid. A lot of Big 12 stuff.
All right, Robbie. Appreciate your time, man.
Awesome. Thank you, man.